still could go free. I mean, he's heard of that before. And then he talks about how he take everything from me. I could live in a box. I could be in chains and all kinds of stuff, you know. But as long as I have Jesus, I can still go free. Because we don't. When you got the Lord, you're not living down on here. You've got a home, and you're a partaker of that now. You know, as a Christian, it's such a glorious thing. I pray one day we can see it just the way it is. You know, let's just stand together. Told you that today. Plan on going into some church order, how we're going to do things in the sanctuary. We'll be a little bit different than normal. Normally, I don't stay behind the pulpit too long, but I'm going to try to today. Y'all pray for me. I don't want to be here for 2 hours. I want to get through in a reasonable time. If I do go a little bit longer, y'all okay with that?
Amen.
All right. I appreciate that. I don't like to go. I'll explain that when we get to it, but I like to, before we even read the scripture, I want to give you what I'm planning on preaching today. The purpose and order of our church service. The purpose and order of our church service. So, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Got a few scriptures here. I've got a lot of quotes from Brother Branham of how they set up the church order there in 63. And I'm going to take a lot of things from there and read a lot. I hope that's okay, too. I've tried my best to skip what I can. I don't want to just read all the time. I want you to understand. I want you to know what we're trying to do here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's good to have Nikki and Lexi with us today. And just about everybody else here today. That's wonderful.
Amen.
I still might have a few stragglers, but Lord knows. One of these days it'll all come together. I just believe that. 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And then let me just quote another scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. With our heads together. Watch our clothes, or your head bowed. Anybody have a need you'd like to raise your hand to the Lord Jesus? Raising anyone off, just raise it to you. Hear my heart's cry, my eyes to see a man's today. Where there's needs, there's an end given. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray, Lord, first before we approach your throne, that you'll forgive us, Lord, of all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all the things that we've done wrong, Lord. We don't want to do that as Christians, but we pray that the blood would wash us clean again. Lord, the Holy Spirit could come and have the preeminence in this service. He could tell us the things that we ought to do. As Paul said here, how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. That's what we're here for. Lord, I pray that you'll take over my lips, my mind, my heart, that I could express exactly what you would have for us to hear today. May our hearts be opened, every one of us, to hear the word and to receive it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Said I'll be quoting a lot, reading a lot here. And when I'm reading, I know it's hard sometimes. I'm the same way. It's hard to not just think about other things. But let's focus in on, we've got an objective today. I want to establish how, you know, we do things pretty well. And a lot of, and I don't mean that to say we're bad or good or anything like that. If you go around a little bit, and I challenge you, if you wonder how blessed we are to be Christians and what God has given us even just here in this little assembly, go visit a little bit. You'll find out that, you know, even those that adhere to the message, they should have the same thing, but too often it's not there. And I believe a lot of it has to do with what I'm going to preach today, that just a general disrespect for God, disrespect for his house and for one another, you know, I'm trying not to preach, Lord help me. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to discern the Lord's body, and the Lord's body is the Christians. And a lot of times when people get their little thoughts about one another, you might as well just, you're bound the ministry right there, because there's just a sea of unbelief. You can't have that. We want to come, and, you know, we just sang it there, they'll know we're Christians by our love. They'll know we're Christians because we're willing to lay down our lives for each other, for as Christ did, he laid down his life for people that wanted him dead. And there's no man that can do that. It takes God to come into your heart and to change you, or else you're just going to live for yourself. That's just the way it is. A man, he's out for himself, but a Christian, he's not a carnal man anymore. He's a supernatural man. and a supernatural man lives for others. That's just what he does. So praise the Lord there. But Paul talks about it here. He says, writing to Timothy, and we're going to get to some of the other things in Timothy that he talks about before this, but he's giving the why he wrote 1 Timothy so that they would know how they need to behave themselves, how they know how to handle the Word of God, because he believed they were converted. He had set up Timothy. We know he calls him later his son in the faith. And so he wanted things to go the way that Paul even said, it's not even my own thinking that I'm setting this up. I received this from the Lord. And this is what I'm telling you. And that's how God has always done everything. I pray we're all focused in on today. Amen. We're all here to hear from one person. That's not Brother Andrew either. That's the Lord Jesus. It's just as Paul, he gave the word. It wasn't Paul's thoughts. It was God's words coming through a man. And that's how God always does it. That's how God does what we're doing today. If Brother Andrew just came up and I just went through logically what I thought, I would have been way off the beaten path. But God has given us his word. He's given us the revelation of the Spirit. And that's where we get success in Christ, is by listening to what he's got to say about it. Brother Branham says this in church order, and I'm not even going to say that again because every quote is from the same sermon. Church order 63. Says this, paragraph 85. You come here to worship, not even to visit. This is not a picnic ground. This is not a visitation place. This is the visitation place of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he has to say, not to one another. We don't come here to fellowship with one another. We come here to fellowship with Christ. This is the house of worship. So the first thing I want you to know is what this place is even here for. It is a house of worship to the one God that we believe in, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not here to fellowship with one another. That's not why we come together. We come together because we're all in one spirit. We come to come into one spirit and to fellowship with him.
Amen.
That's why we're here. And if you can get every person in the church to focus in on that, then you don't have to worry about them looking around or looking at the clock and this and that.
Right.
You've got an audience of one.
Amen.
And this isn't just the president. This isn't a superstar athlete that, you know, people would lay down the red carpet for. This is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords.
And
if you can come in faith and focus in on Christ, which is what we're here to do, you recognize that this place is a hollow place to have fellowship with him.
Yeah.
We don't, I've seen too many people base where they go to church on who goes there. That doesn't mean anything. It should not be that. You know, and it's hard sometimes. You know, God will, I think, purposely put you with people that rub you the wrong way to see how you handle it.
Right.
To see if you really trust them.
Right.
You know? And any man, I'm the same way. I mean, I know you all think I love you all the time, but I got a flesh too.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to be a God. I'm a man. I'm a man like you. And sometimes somebody does something, I got to do that too.
Yeah.
All
right? Right?
But look, you don't yield to that.
No.
If
Amen.
You know it's the devil, why are you going to do it?
Amen.
I've heard so many people be identify something to the enemy, and they just go ahead and do it anyways.
Yeah.
What are you doing? If it's wrong, stop.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
And there's a lot of things that have happened, and I guess I shouldn't say a lot, but there's things that have happened that I don't agree with, and even I've been partakers of. But now that I believe we're going to establish these things, I do. I want you to respect that, you know, and especially even we have visitors and things, but that's fine. It's good to know, even when you bring someone here, what the expectation is.
Right.
We'll get into, you know, being respectful and things like that. I don't want people to think that because I'm not sitting here jibber-jabbing with them that I'm disrespecting them or I don't like them. No, we're just here to respect the house of God.
Amen.
You know, a lot of churches anymore, you walk in, it's just a party before it even gets started. We're not here to fellowship with one another. We're here to fellowship with God. And the only way you can do that is to stop fellowshiping with everybody else.
Amen.
And even yourself, really, you've got to get how many times do we get our minds on work and what we're going to do? Even in church, what we're going to eat for lunch.
Yeah.
Amen. Sisters, I know it's hard because you feel responsible and things, but I'll tell you this, if you put God first. I don't care. Burn lunch.
Right.
Let's have a good service here.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ruin a service for God because of some meal.
Right.
I think we all can skip one.
Right.
I think we'll
be
okay. I don't think we're starving to death.
Right.
Praise the Lord. We're not getting nowhere. Lord, help me. Before service even gets here, I believe that there's such a, you know, what's the phrase go? An ounce of preparation will save a pound of trouble. And I believe that's the same in the house of God. A lot of times it's not what happens here that was the problem. It's something that happened before we even got here or before the service even started, or and it trickles on down, and then, you know, the service doesn't go the way we think it ought to. Instead of blaming all those things, we just, you know, blame the minister. It's obviously his fault.
Right. Sure.
Not just Brother Andrew either, you know. Oh, we brought that other guy in here. Oh, it's obviously his fault. Well, maybe not.
Right.
Chances are it's probably not, because that man probably dedicated himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little easier to hide in the congregation and not dedicate yourself, but when you got to get up and talk and be led by the Spirit, you better know that the Spirit's there.
Right.
You're going to make a fool of yourself.
Amen.
Amen. But before we even start a service, let me read what Brother Bram says here. Look at this. I'm just reading now. Look at the way we used to do it years ago. Sister Gertie was the pianist. When I pastored here, I had to be pastor, deacon, trustee, everything else at once. See, I had to do it. Now, you don't have to do it that way because you've got men to carry this out. And that's something, yeah, I understand. Me and Dad, we have extra responsibilities and things that at one day, as long as, just like the tabernacle, we have men that can do these things. You know, I think that's good. For the time being, I'm okay with doing that, and so is my father and anybody else that does anything for the house of God. Let me keep reading here. I had ushers, Brother Seward, and all of them at the door. They had books piled there at the door, sitting in a chair or something or another. When someone come in, they showed them a place to hang their coat and help them to their seats, give them songbooks, they'd be in prayer. And that everybody sat in their seat, silently prayed until starting time. So that's why we do what we do the way we do it. And even before service, a lot of times people like to talk, and even with me and chit-chat and things. And that would be okay if we weren't in the house of God. From now on, I will, and I've been very cautious, and I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want nobody mad. But now that I'm saying what I am here, I won't be having a conversation with you. I'll tell you,
Amen.
Please wait until after service.
Yeah.
We can talk then.
Amen.
Because right now, we're not here to fellowship with one another. We're here to get ready to fellowship with God.
Right.
Let me keep reading. And then at the starting time, Sister Gertie, the pianist, got up there and started the music before when the people are coming together. I would suggest to have your organist get up there with some real nice music. If she can't be there, put it on tape and play it or something. And that's what we do. We have we don't necessarily have somebody to play for a whole half hour before, but we have a tape and we have those things and we play that. That's why we do it that way. And have music, real sweet, sacred music going on, and ask the people. If the people goes to talking and carrying on like that, let one of the deacons get up with a microphone and at the desk and say, shh, like that. And at the tabernacle here, we want you to come to worship. Let's not make noise now. Listen to the music. Get your seat. Sit down. Be reverent. Pray or read your Bible. This is the sanctuary here. It's where the Lord dwells. And we want everybody to be real reverent and worship, not to be running around talking before the services. Congregate yourselves and you come here to talk to the Lord. Either be in silent prayer or read your Bible. Okay?
Amen.
Let me keep reading. And he talks about another church that he had went to. He said the marble church up there, they had these old box seats, you know, like that, where you sat down in the pews and you open the door. How many have seen that before? They got the little doors. That's what he's talking about. Old fashioned. Used to be up there for 200 years, I guess, the old marble church was. And you could have heard a pin drop anywhere in that church and everyone in prayer for at least 30 minutes before the first note was ever hit on the organ, the prelude. See, just everybody in prayer. See, a lot of churches will teach that we need to get to church early, but my, they just stand on the vestibule and talk the whole time.
Right.
I've been there. I've seen it all the way until services started.
Amen.
And I've seen ministers do it.
Right.
In the office and things. I don't agree with that either. I don't think just because it's a slight Nicolaitan doctrine is what it is. Because we are ministers, we are not held to the same standards as the people. No, sir. Well, when I get here an hour early at least because I want some devotional time for me to be ready. Now, I understand that I like this. Brother Bram just talked about having an usher and things at the door. Dad helps me with that, too. I like that. I think that's good. I think that's good for visitors to not, they just walk in, they don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, even just today, I'll just use an example. We had Brother Mickey and his girlfriend come in here, and, you know, if I wouldn't have been out here to put them somewhere, I don't know if they'd have been able to sit anywhere.
Right.
You know, and that's, and those things you don't think matter.
They do.
But that could dictate just, I mean, a person's whole
Amen.
Impression of a place. You don't even feel
Amen.
Welcome. Why come back?
Right.
You know, too many times, we just shun people because of this and that. Give the sinner a chance.
Amen.
You know, you never know. I mean, yeah, they might be rough around the edges or might come in smelling like a smokestack, but give God a chance to maybe
Amen.
Do something in their life.
Amen.
I'm glad that God waited on me to get saved before he expected me to act like a Christian.
Right.
Amen. But you could hear a pin drop anywhere in that church. Look, when we come here, and I believe, and we teach it for doctrine. I have it, and if you look on the website and things, it's a prayer service that starts a half hour before the actual service starts here. That is, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. When we come here, we are here to get in prayer and to get into the Spirit, to forget all your daily things, all the things of the world, your neighbor, your wife, your children. You are here to focus on Christ and to fellowship with Him. You're not to come in and start jibber-jabbing about this, that, or the other thing. You're not to even testimonies and things like it's all good. I mean, I trust the integrity of people's heart. They're not trying to cause problems.
Right.
But you know better now.
Right.
You don't come in. You're not here to fellowship and things like that. We are, this, at least in this sanctuary here, this is totally dedicated to the worship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And even here in our little particular building, that curtain there is not a wall. Okay? The reason that curtain is there is not so we can go behind there and chit-chat either.
Right.
And like I said, I've been kind of leaning on some of these things, allowing, but especially anybody that sits right there, you know they're right there.
Right.
Man, this might be a little rough, but just know that I love you today.
Amen.
All right? I'm not saying this about any particular thing. This is all just behaviors that I want to go a certain way. But that's not a wall to go chit-chat behind. That is just because people will physically be walking, and it just helps that there's not somebody, you can't see them.
Right.
And I believe people need a color restroom and things. And we only have one. How many of you know that? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, then before you get here, you might want to stop by McDonald's or something. Or over here. I mean, be wise. You know, wise as servant, harmless as doves.
Right.
There's a train to the restroom the whole time. Nobody's praying.
Right.
Okay. Some might be praying while never mind. But we're here to dedicate ourselves. We're here to be prepared. We're here to focus on God. And too many times I believe that's where the Spirit can't move.
Amen.
It's because the people never got in it.
Yeah.
And they're always playing catch up with the servant, trying to catch, and before it's over, it's too late.
Right.
You missed it. Because the Holy Spirit, he's so timid. He's so humble. I mean, people think God's just this big brute with big chest and like Zeus and just zaps lightning bolts. He's so humble that if you're not paying attention, you're missing it. Even today, you might think, what are we doing here going through this stuff? And this is so boring. And this is taking so long and things like that. If you get in the spirit of what's going on, we can have a great service today. Actually, that's the whole point of church order. Let me make sure I understand this. Church order is not to restrict the people of God's worship to God. That's how it gets enforced too many times. It is to enhance the people's worship of God.
Hallelujah.
If you come in chit-chatting, you're not worshiping.
Amen.
If you come in and get distracted there and do, you're not chit-chatting. If you got to go to the bathroom so bad and there's a line, you're not worshiping.
Amen.
You're focused on one thing and you want to get it done. But if we be as wise as we can, come preparing ourselves when we get here. And he said at least 30 minutes. So the door's open an hour. You want to come and pray? Go ahead and come and pray. That is fine. I do not mind that. But we should be here at least a half hour early. And not just who you think spiritual. That goes for any Christian.
Amen.
You need to come and get in the Spirit. Let me keep reading here. I'm going to skip down a little bit. He says this. And then when it was over, there was nothing went on except divine worship all the time. That's what we come here for. Skipping down. If it's a good thing, then let's do it.
Amen.
That's another step that gets lost a lot of times. Oh, it's a great thought. And my, this is just some glorious picture of a church. And then we go and we work everything against what we say we're going to do.
Yes.
I've heard it. We're gonna, you know, we need to come pray and stuff like that. And the deacon's at the door, jibber jabbing, and everybody walks in.
Right.
You're working right against what you said you were trying to do here. So it's just, we don't. If it's a good thing, let's do it. I'm gonna keep reading here. We don't want to put off any good thing. We'll do it anyhow. Skipping down, and you know, he talks about somebody starts talking and things. He said, now there's a new rule in the tabernacle. When people enter here, we're not to whisper, talk, but to worship. See,
amen.
Now just a few minutes before the service will be starting. Just then, either read your Bible or bow your head and silently pray just a few minutes like that, and then they'll all learn. So before a service, we're not here to talk. This is not a house of talk. This is not a fellowship place between us as brothers and sisters. It's a fellowship place between every individual and God.
Amen.
And if we don't do that first part, if you neglect that, you're ruining the rest of the service. I don't care who you are. Especially if you've been born again, you're in a body, and that body's Christ. And if you're a part of that body and you resist the word, you're pulling the work of God back. You're holding it back. You need to keep pressing forward. We should all be willing to just say, Lord, I've been wrong. That's okay. But Lord, help me to do what's right. Even the these things that I'm going through, if you found yourself to be the one doing that, that just know it's not Brother Andrew just trying to pick on you. It's that we just need to grow up.
Amen.
We need to be more rock solid in what we believe in. And not just what we believe in our heads, but how we practice it.
Yes.
Amen.
No, I want people to come into the house of God and know there's something different.
Amen.
Than what we have in the world.
Amen.
There's something different than what this church said God was in this one. There's a God that's here.
Yes.
Amen.
And if there's not a sincerity, what people want God to be sincere when they won't give him an ounce of sincerity.
Right.
He already proved he was sincere to us when you look right there at that cross and he was willing to put his hands up and die for you. He proved he was sincere.
Yeah.
How much more can we just get up a little earlier and come to church?
Right.
You know, we should not forsake coming to the house of God. I've never seen a Christian prosper missing the house of God.
Right.
I've seen them just go through the circle of death. Amen. And I've never seen a Christian give up that kept coming to the house of God.
Amen.
There was always something. Why? Because you're not feeding on the man. You're not feeding on the congregation. You come in faith. You're feeding off God.
Amen.
And that power will defeat the devil.
Amen.
He will. You just got to stay there. You got to have enough faith to not give up before the victory gets here. Amen. So that's before service. We'll have the music playing there. We talked about the water. I'll explain that again. The water, unless you're a teenager, which is 13, and I just came up with that just to have something to stabilize it. Because I don't want children in there getting what don't get it. Okay? Just go ask your parent. I know you're probably old enough to handle it. Just don't do it for now. Okay? We don't want a mess. And my boy was, when we were here practicing yesterday, he's in there making a mess with the thing. You know, it just happens. We want to do everything we can to prevent that. It's a great thing to have. I don't mind you getting drinking things, but if your child wants one, please go with them. Same with going to the bathroom and things. Let's do our best to monitor our children. You know, we need to teach them. You know, if we don't teach them how to serve God, the world will teach them how not to.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So we've got to do our part. You say, my, it's hard on a little kid. No, just focus them on it. Just train them on it. You'd be surprised. A child can learn a lot faster than adults.
Amen.
You try to retrain somebody that's 40, 50 years old, you've got a little bit more work cut out for them than somebody who's 4 or 5. Why? They're still a little bit moldable.
Yeah.
You know, the natural types of spiritual don't. And when you get older, things are a little stiffer anymore.
Right.
They don't bend just like they used to. You know, you fall down a flight of stairs, you better get ready to go to the hospital, right? One of these little guys can do it. They just bounce right up and, they might cry for just because they're scared, but really they'll just get up and get going again.
Amen.
You know, like, even though he's not sitting here now, but you see that big old bunker on his head. He's still rolling. We'd be at home with an ice pack still a week later. Why? We're just falling apart. We're just in a body of death.
Yes.
It's not eternal. Not yet. It will be one day, though.
Amen.
I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. Let me make sure here. The tithes and offerings. Brother Bram talks about it, and I explain that here, but how they set up a time to pray and things like that. At the moment, I don't really feel to do that. It's kind of, we got 3 rows. You know, I think it's just easier. You bring in your tithes. I would advise you to pray for it.
Right.
I know that's something that kind of goes by the wayside. But pray for your tithes.
Yes.
And I've already confessed that doesn't go to me, Brother Andrew, personally. And even if it did, that's the scriptures.
Right.
The tithe is to go to the minister. But I have chosen to give it to the work of God, to the missions, to the house, to the building, and things like that. That is because I chose to do that. Now, another man, and make sure I say this too, any other church wants to do things a little different, don't you go being critical on them. Let them do it whatever they feel led to. That's their deal. It might be wrong, and you just get down and pray for them that God will show them the same too.
Amen.
Plenty of people probably walked in here and thought the same thing of us. And they had grace on you too, so you go ahead and go the other way. But your tithes and offerings, go ahead and just lay it in there in the basket out, or the box out there, and we'll just do it that way. And I've talked about the rest of this. Okay. So that's how, when we approach the house of God before service, I think that's how we ought to do things. Now, when we start a service, the beginning of the service, let me read what Brother Branham says, and then I'll comment here. Now, I'd say this. Say if your service begins at 7:30. If that's the time, open your church half hour beforehand, 7 o'clock. Okay? And we're going to do ours an hour beforehand. Okay? And I think that's okay. I think it's just, he had a lot of more numbers to deal with. And it takes a lot more preparation. We've got the ability to do it, so I think we can open up a little bit early. Skipping down here. Don't have to be here every time Oh, he's talking about, excuse me, let me make sure I get this right. Talking about the music, he says, because if the deacons are not here, somebody else, let the trustee or somebody be here to do it. Let them play the play for a half hour, okay? But exactly 7:30, let the bell on that toll on the top of the building. You have your bell out there, yeah, all right. Let the bell toll at 7:30, and that means that we're not going to walk up and down the church and shake hands with the Jonas and all of them. Let the song leader be on the job.
Amen.
So that's why when we start a service, we are here to start at noon.
Amen.
We are here to start at 7. And that is sometimes hard, even recently, or not recently, but I have gone a few minutes because I saw somebody walking in right at the door, and I said, well, it's just because I knew I'd have to be moving people and things. Okay?
Right.
But if we do the first part right, we don't need to do that.
Amen.
Everybody should already be in their seats.
Yeah.
Everybody should already be in prayer. We shouldn't have to do the last minute kind of thing.
Right.
And actually, I think that'd be really good because sinners don't know to come in earlier, or just people that just don't put them in their church. They just don't know because not a lot of churches do that. But if we're all in order where we need to be, we can do a last minute thing. It's not nearly as difficult as the whole church piling in 5 minutes before this thing's going to start.
Amen.
Amen. But right at 12, right at 7 on Wednesdays, Dad will be right here at this pulpit starting the service. Amen. Let me skip down here a little bit. All right, then have a congregational song, then maybe a second congregational song, and then have somebody already spoke of, if you can, to lead in prayer. Now, that's something that we haven't done. I think it's a good idea, so I want to start doing this. Dad usually has somebody that to pray before the service. I would like for that to be determined before the service starts. So maybe as the brothers are coming in, he just pulls the brother aside and says, hey, would you open the service in prayer today? The reason I think that's good is that maybe brother don't want to do it.
Right.
You might think that don't happen, but it's happened before. I was there for it. I saw brother at the pulpit, and he said, hey, brother Jones or whoever back there, would you open prayer? And the brother said, and he was like, really? I mean, really, that did happen. So I think any brother here would probably do that, but it even helps that brother,
right,
just to get ready and to just pray about that too. Lord, what would you have me to say? You know,
right.
We're not here to be haphazard. We're here to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
And the littlest thing, I want the Spirit to be in. Whether I sing, whether I dance, whether I work, I want to be in the Spirit when I'm doing it.
Amen.
So let me finish this quote, and then I'll comment a little bit more. Now we believe that everybody should come to the house of God and pray. And pray. That's the place you pray. But when you're in the sanctuary, conserve your time. Okay? See, you call them all up around the altar and you find out there'll be somebody be there 15, 20 minutes and your time's all run out. Skipping down. Jesus said, when you pray, don't stand like the hypocrites do and make a long prayer and this and that and the other thing and all this showing. See? He said, when you pray, enter into your closet, your secret closet, close the door behind you, pray to the Father that seeth in secret, and he shall reward thee openly. Now that's the way to have secret prayer. That's what he said do. But when they come in, let the song leader say, all right, after the first song, then let somebody have prayer, whoever it is, just a short prayer. Don't stand up and pray for all the governors and so forth like that. If there's any prayer requests, let it be known, let it be sent in, have them send it in, skipping down again. Let it be laid on the platform, tell them, let them get used to that. If you got a request of prayer, lay it up here, Brother Ram, or he says he knocks on the pulpit, lay it up here. Don't be speaking. Who has a request now? Would you let it be known? And then the first thing you know, somebody gets up and glory to God, and they start off like that. And the first thing you know, it's a half hour before you sit down sometime.
Right.
We are responsible for this church, not others. This is our responsibility to God. These offices are our responsibility to God. See, reason I'm saying here tonight, telling you all this, is because it's my responsibility to God. It's your responsibility. Carry it out. If somebody led in prayer, and when they do, that's fine. Let them lead. Let them sit down. Skipping down. Let me make sure. Okay, let me go through that for a second here. I already told you about we'll have a man picked out before the service to pray that opening prayer. We get up, and let me see how I thought of something. Yeah, I want to do this. We come up, and we read the psalm, and I think that's good. But what I'd like to do, and like I said, this is all new to even my dad and everything. This is just me right now. What I'd like to do is after we read the psalm, and I think that's good, we'll sing one song then. Because I think it's good to sing and to kind of get that we're not really down on our own. We're here in service now.
Right.
Service is starting. So I think I'd like to have one of our songs right then, right after we read the psalm. Let's sing and praise the Lord. And then right after that, as we get to the Spirit, we'll read any announcements and prayer requests and testimonies. We'll do that. We'll open up in prayer with somebody that was pre-told, okay? And then we'll progress from there, okay?
Amen.
Everybody okay? Everybody understand?
Amen.
All right. Aren't you good? I didn't hear you say amen. You're the real guy, so. So after that, let me keep reading here. And this, after we sing that song, after we have opening and the prayer requests and all that brought forth, oh, and even speaking prayer requests, I do like them written out.
Yeah.
Just like what Brother Bram said, you get somebody talking, before you know it, you blow up, and everybody jibber-jabbing about everything.
Right.
You know. And the Bible already told us, we told everything that Jesus did, we couldn't write enough books to fill the earth.
Right.
So I know you got testimony.
Right.
All right? I understand that. If you got something that you just want to share, write it down.
Amen.
Too many times, that's the reason that we forget, because we just burn it off and then it's gone.
That's good.
You know how many was healed Wednesday night? They had come forward. Did you turn it in so we could read it to the church? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Then we can put it down, and then when the devil tries to come and discourage you again, you can say, no, sir, look what God did for me there.
Amen.
Right.
Even Brother Justin, that right, he came up on, that's right, praise the Lord. He said he was good right after that. He had a headache and things, but... So do that. Put in your request and get that turned in. I do right now. I'm still going to just take it just because I think it's just easier and things like that. If you can't find me or something, you want to lay it right here, that's fine. Okay, I don't want to make a big deal of that. I think that's good. Just, we don't want the blurting out things. Okay?
Right.
Okay, we're here to conserve our time. We want to use it for the kingdom. Now, when it comes to after that, when we go to sing the rest of the song service, let me show you what Brother Bram says. He says, if anybody wants to sing a special and announce it in the church, tell them that any specials or anything that wants to be sang, let them see the song leader before the church ever starts.
Right.
You say, and well, I'm sorry, brother, I'd sure like to do it, but I've got my special for tonight. Maybe if you tell me when you're going to be here on a certain night, I'll put it in the program for you. See, I got my program written out here. Let Brother Caps, whoever's leading songs, and have a song leader, no matter who it is, and let them stand up and say, and not, or carry on like a preacher. Don't let them carry on like a preacher, okay? Let them stand up there and lead songs. That's their business. It's a pastor's business to preach, not to lead songs. He ain't to lead songs. The song leader leads songs. He's responsible and should come out fresh under the anointing of the Holy Ghost from the office in there somewhere. When he comes time, he don't even have to be at the platform this is going on. I can still be here, but I don't have to. Okay, and if we later have a deacon in order and things like that, I probably would just stay in there until I was announced to come up. But for the time being, I do. I come in, that's it, and I worship and thank. Even if I was in there, I'd be worshiping. I'll just tell you that. Just the way it is. So he didn't have. Okay, let him stay in the office back there or back in here or whatever it is. The intercoms will bring it in when it's time. When he hears that, if there's a special like a solo duet or something for your third song, see. Then you've had two congregational songs, prayer, your offering, if you're going to take it, and let every man be at his post to do.
Right.
Okay, so let me go through that whole pre-service, or the beginning of service. Am I wearing you out already? Is it 20 minutes?
No, sir.
I don't know.
No, sir.
All right, praise the Lord. We'll have our psalm reading. We'll have a congregational song. Bring forth any announcements, our prayer requests, and testimonies. Have an opening prayer. Told your brother, be told beforehand. Then after that, either lead in two congregational songs, and we will do two. We will not do three, four, or five. I tell you, it's just amazing me how these quotes can still be in there when I go to almost every church I've gone to, and they have six songs.
Right.
I mean, always. I don't know where six. I don't even like number six. I would just stop at five or went to seven. But I'm not gonna make too big a deal of that. It's just strange to me that it's always that way.
Right.
And Brother Bram never said to do it that way. He said to have maybe three at the most. And then Dad, you know, after we have the opening prayer, lead in two more songs, or if we have a special, we'll do one special song and one congregational song. And that's the way we're going to do it. You know, there might be more specials, and you need to talk to Dad before service. I would prefer before the service day as well, not just right out there. Because like I said earlier, that's a little too late then.
Right.
We're already, once you cross the line, you're here to concentrate.
Right.
And we're out there having to have another conversation. I understand there's certain things we do need to say, okay? If you say excuse me or God bless you and things, I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about when you just blab. Okay? And that'll lead into the song service. And that's pretty much all I'm worried about with song services right there. We'll sing the song, have our are all announcements and things. Have prayer, sing another song or two, maybe one's a special, and then the minister will come to the pulpit. At the least, I think we've got it done in 10 minutes, maybe one time. Usually it's about 15. The max ever would be 30. A lot of people treat that as a minimum song service. That is capping the song service. I think a half hour is my opinion, is the break point. After that, people are just getting tired. They're tired of listening. They got it, you know. We're singing. We got it. We're ready. You don't come here to sing and have a concert. We came here to hear from God, who comes from the Word, from the preaching of the Word. All right. Now let's get to the preaching service, and I'm just going to keep rolling here. This shouldn't take too much longer here. Are you okay still?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, here's a question that's asked to Brother Bram in the same service here. It says, we've had complaints in the beginning of the service. Let's see. We've had songs, testimonies, prayers, and prayer requests, special singing, and maybe get to the message at 11 or after, but don't have too much time for the Word. Some of the people get restless and have to leave before it's over. Please explain how many songs and what time to start the message and time for prayer requests and ends up, or and sometimes we have prayer requests and ends up in a testimony meeting. Some things like that don't seem right at the time.
Right.
And we've already talked about the beginning part there. He says, you know, how many songs should we sing at the starting of the service and what time should service start. Now the first thing, and this is Brother Ram speaking, the prophet of the age, God vindicated man. Look what he's got to say about this.
Right.
Now the first thing I want to make here is a confession. And when I'm wrong, I want to admit I'm wrong.
Right.
And we're too proud to say when we're wrong. And I'll make a confession here that I'm kind of the leader of that, because it's been me holding these long services and things. It's what's got the church into this routine of doing it, but it shouldn't be. Do you believe the message? Then our normal services should not be 2.5 hours preaching. All right. And now remember, was telling you all Sunday night, if the Lord willing, on Sunday night, that I'm going to allot my services from henceforth, if I have to stay a week extra, to about 30 or 40 minutes at the longest for my services. Because I have found this, that it stands up and the message is given in power. If you go too far, you wear the people out and they don't get it. I've seen that time and time again. Oh my, these great scriptures and quotes. But by the time you get done, you're like, wait, what was he saying for the hour in between there? I remember like 5 minutes when we started and 5 when we ended.
Right.
See, that's the thing. And the most thing, they'll tell you that in any speech, that people remember the beginning and the end.
Right.
Well, the goal is to get these to hit each other.
Yeah.
Right? Because why talk if nobody's listening?
Amen.
So let's just get this 15 minutes here and 15 minutes here, or a little bit longer, and get them together so you get what the sermon had to say.
Right.
Amen. Excuse me. The reason, now he gives the reason that he had services. We know Brother Graham preached, it was a hard time for him to preach less than that.
Right.
But he did do it many times, especially on the field and things. He's much better at it. But in the tabernacle, he explains why his services are as long as they are on average.
Right.
This is not my words. I'm not coming up with this.
Right.
He says it. let me go down here a little bit. And I'm guilty because the reason I have done this, not because I didn't know different, but I'm making tapes, see? And these tapes will be played in houses for hours after hours after hours. How many plays that?
Amen!
50 years later, and we're still playing.
Hallelujah.
But as you'll find out, the coming Sunday, the reason that I have done it this coming Sunday, the reason I've done these things, I might say it right now on tape, the reason that I have done this is because of the tremendous weight upon me for the message of this hour to get it out.
Yes.
Now the message is out. Now I'm taking the 30 minutes or something like that after the first of the year in my meetings everywhere I go and try to even set my watch to 30 minutes, not even go 40 at the most. God help us. Punch to that message, make an altar call, whatever I'm going to do, or call a prayer line, and not take that much time because you wear the people out.
Right.
I know that. Skipping down. But see, for the sanctuary, for the church, and that's all right. If you're here making a tape and you got a 2-hour tape, put a 2-hour message on it. But if you're not making a tape for something like that, then cut your message, see? Cut your message down. And that's why I announced this long before, or a few weeks before I got here. Because I wanted you to come in service and know that I'm going to do this until I'm done.
Right. Amen.
Normally I will not preach this, but maybe as long as I take today. You all know that. I don't like to go even an hour hardly. I like to do what the prophet said, and I'll read it here in a minute. But when we're laying out something, I'm going to make this on tape. I want those that come to listen to this. I want them to know what our expectation is, and we're going to get it all on there. I don't want to skip anything. Even sometimes I'll skip quotes that I had and things. I'm not doing that today.
Amen.
I'm making sure I get every point that I felt led to, that was given to me to the church. So let's keep going here. You cut your message down, I'll tell you why. There's some that fill up easy, some fill up long, and you got to find you got to be at the happy medium between that. And how many times that we ruin our services by a dragged out testimony meeting, which I know I'm guilty of doing. Amen. It's given down. See, the main thing now, your prayer is to be in secret, your main long prayer, enter in your closet, close the door, and that's where you pray all day, all night, 2 hours, pray there. But in here, where you've got the people, the attention of the people, make your prayer short, quick at it. Make all your service and put most of the service time into that word. That's the main thing. Punch that word just as hard as you can. See, get the word to the people.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the main thing when it comes to service. You know, and too many times we judge a church by how they sing their songs or how they play their instruments and things and how they do this and do that. That's not why we came here. We came to fellowship with God, and we came to hear the word of God that is directed to us today.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's why we come here. And if we're not putting the focus on that, then what are we doing here?
Right.
And even when you judge churches, Brother Bram said that now, and even at his time, now the same now, they judge a church by the way it worships, not by what it's got to say.
Amen.
Or by the power of God. I judge a church, is God there?
Amen.
Then praise God.
Yes.
Does the power of God show up?
Yes.
When sick come and we lay hands, do they get well?
Amen.
When we come expecting, does the unfailing God show up?
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's how we ought to, in the way we worship and things is not the main thing. The main thing is the word of God.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't even like to preach that. I hear many times preachers will preach one way or another. You know, if you scream a little bit, you're just a big fanatic. You know, we're in the word age. You need to calm it down a little bit. Or they'll preach, why aren't you jumping and screaming? And why isn't everybody doing this? You know, people worship a little different.
Right.
The main thing is worship God.
Amen.
From your heart. Look,
right.
I'm not a judge of that thing, but you are.
Right.
And you know if you're really worshiping or not.
Yeah.
You just kind of, well, thank you, Jesus, you know, and hallelujah. Man, I wish you would sing a different song. See, you're not in the spirit doing that stuff. You're not worshiping doing that stuff. You're not worshiping texting and sending notes and chit-chatting with. You're not worshiping.
Amen.
That's what makes it wrong. The action itself isn't the big deal. It's that you're not worshiping anymore to do that.
Amen.
Amen. And that we already started. This place is a house for worship.
Yes.
When you say amen to the word of God, that is worship.
Amen.
That was a good one too. That's absolutely the truth.
Let me finish
this out here real quick. Now look, I would say this. Ordinarily, unless we are given out, let them tell them you're going to tape a message. See, if Brother Neville has a message that he's got a message he wants to get out to the people out on tape or something. Now next Sunday we're going to have a 2-hour tape or 3-hour tape or whatever more. We're going to give 2 or 3 hours tape or whatever it might be next Sunday night. Then the people know. See, that's the main thing. The people,
right.
why do we, you know, just scare people and surprise them and things like that? That's not how faith works. Faith knows where it stands. If you got to hoodwink somebody to get them saved, they didn't get saved.
Right.
You don't get saved with, you know, people think, well, you know, I just lost my mind, and then you just blank out. No, you need to know what you're doing.
Amen.
Or you'll never get saved. You need to know that you're a sinner before you can ever get salvation.
Right.
And if you never recognize that, you're just like, well, I'll just do what they're telling me to do and go through some religious act. You're not getting anywhere.
Right.
We ought to let the people know what's going on, and that's why we're even doing this today.
Amen.
Let me skip down here a little bit more. Ordinarily, just as I do when I'm going to a place like one of the businessmen's meetings or out in the meetings out there for a prayer line, if I stood up there and gave a 3-hour message of a night before having the healing service, you see where it puts me? Why, the people the next night, your congregation's half of what it was, see? Because they just can't do it. They got to go to work and everything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there was one, and it's hard, especially for a man on a Wednesday night, knowing that he's got to be up at 4 in the morning when a minister goes on and on and on and on for hours on end. Maybe you haven't experienced that, but I have. And it did happen once, and I give the man a little credit because it happened on accident. Because the clock, it was daylight savings time, it was never changed.
Oh.
So he thought it was an hour earlier than what it really was, or however that works. You know, he thought it was 8 and it was really 9 o'clock. So I remember thinking the same thing. Like, my, we're going kind of long today and things. And I realized, oh, yeah, that's what had happened. But see, that's not good. That's not effective for the God. We don't let the world dictate us, but we need to know that we live here.
Right.
And that there's things that we are obligated to. A man needs to work, take care of his family.
Right.
You don't want to be a zombie on the job.
Right.
You know. Now, if God leads you to stay that long and stuff, and you're in prayer and you're breaking through and stuff, I believe he'll supply energy for the next day.
Right.
But if it's just because we want to do our quota, hey, there's plenty of churches that if you don't preach 2 hours, you're just not spiritual.
Right. True.
There's some, if you preach more than 45, you better get out. Or they'll leave. You know, it's,
right.
But neither one's right. We need to just stay until God's done.
Amen.
All right. I'd suggest this. Now, why? I watched Brother Neville last night, who was the pastor at the time, when he preached. Now, I know we all know that was a startling message. I took notes of him, got it here in my pocket to use it in other messages of my own. That's right, the way of escape, see? And that was a marvelous message. Do you see how quick he got through that, or got that through? See, about 35 minutes, and he had it over. Now, Brother Branham, usually his messages are like that. See, it's not too long. But when... where you kill your meeting is in all that drawed out stuff before you get to it. And that's where it's discouraged me many times. And you finally get somebody to come to the house of God, and we got an hour-long song service. And before you know, they're already checked out, and they haven't even preached the word yet at all.
Right.
You haven't even given them an opportunity to even get saved because they're already zoned out and gone. So a service. Let me keep reading here a little bit more. And from 8 to a quarter till 9, somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes, lay that word in there just as the Holy Ghost gives it to you. See, just like that. Just place it right in there the way he says to do it. See, under the anointing. Now, I don't think we should get so religious about it that we got a stopwatch up here. And once it hits 45 minutes, it dings and you all know that I'm going too long and we just cut it off. Another thing that you think might be a little over the top, but it happens. I know ministers have told me that it happens. And if you get to an hour, you got a train going out the door. See, I don't believe that. You know, there might be a time where he wants to just get a little bit more. And chances are, it's probably just human error that we're still here.
Right.
Maybe God only had 45 minutes, but we missed 10 of it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. See? That's the main thing. If you do the preliminaries the way you're supposed to, and we're only here 15 minutes, even an hour's preaching isn't as big as much as if we're here 45 minutes and then you preach an hour.
Right.
See, then you've got another half hour long service and you've accomplished nothing more yet.
Right.
Because the word is the power of God. The songs are just to prepare for that.
Yes.
Amen. When the children of Israel went to war, any war, they sing songs. That's not the battle. They're not killing anyone yet. But it prepares the soldiers to be ready for battle.
Amen.
And it's the same in the house of God.
Yes.
And once we're ready to fight, it's time to fight.
Amen.
And that's when the word comes. The word of God, which is not a textbook. It's a person.
Amen.
In the beginning was the word. And the word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. And now it lives in the hearts of the believers. It's the word that's the power of God.
Hallelujah.
When the word comes. And when the word comes, it's here for a purpose. And as Christians, you know, I believe in worshiping the Lord and stuff, but sometimes we worship. You know, you're worshiping Christ.
Right.
Okay? Just because you feel good and you scream and jump, that's not the point.
No.
It's I'm doing this for someone.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Your worship must stay on Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry what Brother So-and-so thinks. And my, there's only 30 people here. You're not going to get a good following anyway. You might as well not worry about it. But I've done it. And people are going to be critical. Those, you know, it's not the people; it's the devil.
Right. Amen.
When you get delivered, you think the devil's just going to let everybody say, "Praise God! Isn't that wonderful today?" No, he's going to make them critical of it.
Right.
You know, you dance in the spirit one time and think he's just showing off. Showing off to who? Would you ever just think for a minute? You know, is this going to get on CNN one day? Man dances in spirit. I mean, come on.
Right.
You see how stupid that is?
Yeah.
But look how easy it is. I've done it.
Right.
I'm sure you have too. That will get in there and just twist that whole
right.
thing around.
Amen.
Or if we just come, focus on, when you're in the house of God, you're here to focus on too. You and Christ.
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
You know, taking care of children and things, that's even secondarily. If you're not in the Spirit, you're doing something wrong. All right? Because the Spirit will take care of that. Not just where you're just blanked out or anything, but it'll work out right.
Right.
Amen. You know, we try to beat the Holy Ghost into our kids. I think sometimes we just need to pray for them.
Amen.
I think God, or even, why do they do this? Why do they do? No, pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit correct this stuff.
Amen.
He will. And, you know, well, they're this, they're that. Don't blame them. They're moldable.
Amen.
They're still a little lump of clay you can get your hands in. Amen. Now, the preaching of the word, as we said, Brother Rams had tried at most about 45 minutes. And I want to do my best. You pray for me that we'll do that. I usually am in between an hour and 45 minutes. I know that. But it's hard sometimes he says it that way. Some fill up easy, some fill up long. You know, and most times people are on the easy side. At least they say they are. Their body's telling me they are because they're up. But I've had some brothers that were done. I'm like, that's it. You know, there's not more. So it does. It pulls on you as a man to one way or another. But I believe that the Holy Spirit will be right in there. I do. I believe that. If it's just our normal services and things, you know, we're not inviting hundreds of people to hear and things and plan on having a big whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Having a bunch of people that are from Canada, you know, want to sing a song and stuff. We take some time aside for that. That's a totally different thing. But when we're here for service, the home church here, I don't think we need all that.
Right.
And really, that extra stuff doesn't, it just is. You know,
right.
It's great, but it's not the word. It's not the power of God.
Right.
But after the word's preached, let me show you what Brother Branham says here. What should we do after the word's preached? He says this. Then make your altar call. Say, if anyone here in this church that would like to accept Christ as Savior, we're asking you, inviting you to the altar right now. Just stand on your feet, see? And if no one stands, say, is there anyone here that's a candidate for baptism, that's already have repented and wants to be baptized in the water for the remission of sins? If they wish to come, we're giving you the opportunity now. Will you come while the organ's still playing, you see? Nobody comes, say then, is there anybody here that's never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and would want to do that tonight? Would you want us to pray for you? Well, maybe somebody comes up and let two or three lay hands on them, pray for them. Send them back in one of them rooms. Somebody in there will instruct them somewhere how to get through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost if the congregation is all away from them. Now, right now, we obviously don't have a building of this sort to do a lot of these things, okay? And there's gifts of the Spirit, we're just going to leave that aside. That'll take too much time. I'm going to take another time for that. But after we get done preaching the Word, and I've made a pattern of doing this. A lot of ministers don't. And I just don't understand that we are here for a purpose.
Right.
And if there is a sinner here, we need to give an opportunity for them to say, I'm here to receive Christ as my Savior.
Right.
And I believe that should happen after the word is preached so they know what it's all about.
Right.
Same with after that. He said, if somebody wants to get baptized, that we've got a pool right there. We'll fill it up for you if you want to be baptized today. We'll do that. You know, if somebody wants to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, he says to send them off to a room and do those things, and I would love to be able to do that at some time. But for the time being, if you want to stay and pray and things, we've allowed that, and I'm going to allow that. But as far as the congregation, I will not hold the congregation for somebody who wants to stand with the Lord. And I will show you why. I'm going to show you exactly what Brother Branham said so you know that I'm not coming up with that. Let me make sure I don't. Yeah, I did. I sent. But Brother Ram talks, I'm just going to have to paraphrase it. You can look it up if you like to. But Brother Ram says, you know, you let somebody deal with the Lord and God's dealing with them. You know, you give them time. They need to break through.
Right.
But to not hold the whole congregation. Okay?
Right.
He definitely says that. And I wish God forgive me, I thought I had that in there. But they would send them to a room and they'd bring others, not to give them the Holy Ghost and beat them on the back and things, but just to instruct them, give your heart to the Lord. You've got to get enough faith to just die there and say, God, I'm going to stay here until you change me from the inside out, and instruct them, and then just pray with them. You know, just not even put hands on, but I'm just saying being in the room and to keep the atmosphere there,
right?
Because you can't give someone the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Too many ministers, too many people, they think that they do this, they do that, people are going to get the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with that. It's
right.
That person's heart.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's keeping the Holy Ghost
from
coming in. That person has not given their heart to Christ.
Right.
They're holding it back somewhere. And you can't beat it. It's their free moral agency.
Right.
They can make the choice they want to. It takes a personal man to take his heart, and only he and God know. Nobody else will.
That's right.
That he's laying it all on him, saying, Lord, I'm here to die.
Amen.
I'm here. I'm a sinner. I can't live this way no more. And until they get to that point where they are willing, it's just their choice. You see what I'm saying? It's nothing else. It's not this flying over here and somebody laid hands on like this. No, my heart was there. And God came into it and changed me. That's the only thing that ever gives a lasting conversion.
Amen.
But as people want to stay in prayer and things like that, that's fine. I'm going to allow that. I'll show you. I do have another quote here I want to read, and we'll be wrapping up here soon. Let me just read it, and then I'll explain. Let me just give you an example. Would that be all right, a suggestion? I would say the church should have its doors open at a certain time. Let the congregation come in. Let the songs be playing. Let everyone come in to worship, not to visit. And don't let them visit afterwards. Tell them to dismiss and get out, not to visit. If you wanted to visit, there's the whole outside. But in this sanctuary, let it be kept clean. Now, if the Spirit of the Lord is dealing here, let's keep it the Spirit of the Lord. See, and it'll keep moving. If you don't, you just mark my words, it's going to fall.
Right.
It sure will.
Amen.
And let's keep it. It's our duty, and that's why we're here tonight. Just keep the things lined up with these orders. So when we get to after the altar call, and I'm not going to prolong and leave and just try to, because that's just working on emotions.
Right.
You know,
right.
If I start talking about how bad hell is and things like that, and God sometimes will say those to get someone's attention, but I've seen it dragged on until a response happens. People aren't willing to do it, they're just not.
Right.
You know, nobody twisted my arm to get saved. I wanted it.
Amen.
Something on the inside of me told me to do it. And I responded to that.
Yeah.
It wasn't an exterior thing. Things pointed me that way, but until I decided, it never happened.
Right.
And it's the same with the man, but after we do the altar call and give people opportunity to want to give their hearts to the Lord and receive the Holy Ghost and things of that sort, or even prayer for healing, I want to do that at the same time. I think you notice that I'm not very arbitrary about it. Like a lot of ministers will just come up for prayer. You know, a lot of times I feel, if you want physical healing, come now.
Right.
You know, because we already dealt with the spiritual side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's another, it's a different, it's linked together, but it's a different promise. You know, one's to the flesh, one's to the spirit, one's to the soul. You know, we have to understand what we're dealing with when those things, and it sounds like a science, but it's really just simple. It's God beats the devil. In all aspects, but we need to know what we're fighting, you know, not just haphazard. So once we dismiss the service, if you know, we sing a few songs and things, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but if you feel satisfied in things, just go ahead and go. Go and not, you don't have to leave necessarily, but try to not create a bad atmosphere, because we don't have anywhere to send people.
Right.
So we have to leave it here.
Right.
Okay? We want the atmosphere to stay here if God's still working on people that want to stay. Now, a lot of times, and this is me, this is my observation, I don't have a quote for this directly, I see a lot of times people think that if they stay longer, something more is going to happen. The power is the word.
Amen.
It's not a dragged out thing.
No.
The power is the word.
Amen.
And when the word is brought, that's the power of God.
Yes.
If you just accept it, it destroys it.
Amen.
It destroys all the works of the enemy.
Yes.
Right then. You don't have to sit there and beg God to do it. He did it.
Amen.
He's already healed every sick person.
Hallelujah.
He's already saved every lost person.
Yes.
He's already filled every empty person. He did it 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
It's your faith that needs to rise to accept it.
Yes.
And a lot of times it's that time after the preaching where you get heresies going on and disorderly things and all that. See, God help us to be spiritual.
Amen.
The word is the prime thing.
Yeah.
And when the word has come, what it has to do in the service is what we want.
Right.
And a lot of times, like I said, it's just my observation to see the minister will leave
you know, as far as the headship of a service. And we're just singing a few songs, as I said, to keep the atmosphere, but then somebody wants to kind of be the head at that point. See, that's not good. It's not, it's childish is what it is. It's a spiritual baby. We don't want to be, and it happens. That's okay. It's not the end of the world. But we're grown up now.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me wrap this up with this. Brother Branham says this. Now, he talks about dismissing. Now, we'll stand for dismissing. See, you haven't been over about an hour and 45 minutes in the whole thing. See, an hour and 30 minutes, your service is over. You've had a quick little punch. You give it what it's done. You've done it. Everybody's satisfied and go home feeling good. See, if you don't, then you see, you mean well, but see, you know, this is about 33 years in the platform for me. 33 years in the world around. You'll learn a little something in that much time, surely. See, if you don't, you better quit.
Right.
Too many times I think people just need to quit.
Right.
They're not learning for some reason.
Right.
So then, see, I find out this. Now, if you're dealing with the saint, just saints all together, man, you could just stay all night if you wanted to. And that's where we have camp meetings and things like where it's just saints. I mean, sinners not going to go to a camp meeting unless somebody's friend kind of talked them into it or something. You know, that's not like in their agenda. Oh, yeah, we're going to camp meeting this year. They're not saved yet. But when you get a whole bunch that are, we're just going to, you know, I think Brother Craig's having a camp meeting right now, but they want to go out there and it's just the believers. Yeah, just praise the Lord all night. You know, it's not the same, though. But when you're here in the church, the home, you know, in the sanctuary that we dedicate in our services, he says this. See, you're not dealing with them exactly, just the saints. You're trying to catch these out there. Here's the ones you're catching.
Yeah.
You've got to work on their field. See?
Amen.
He said this. Like, you might not like it, but that's what he said.
Amen.
And don't bring them in here and let the word come and then see. There's nothing to be complained. If there's anything they want to see about, well, fine. Let them take, or let them write on the office like that, but don't hold the congregation.
Right.
And even when it comes, you know, a lot of times people have questions. They want to talk to me, and I think that's fine. I'm their pastor, you know. I don't mind that. But save that till service is over.
Right.
You know, and I know it's hard. You know, a lot of times people, I don't know why, but they got confidence in me. I'm still trying to figure that out. Y'all pray for me. I need a revelation of some sort, I guess. But most of y'all are older than me and things, been serving the Lord longer. You know, see, you got to take it from my perspective sometimes. Why are they asking me? You know, like of all people, why me? But you recognize it's not me you're asking.
Amen.
You're trying to get the gift that God has given to expound it. And I believe God does that. But I think the time for that is after service. I do. I'm a human too. I'm trying to get prepared to, you know, I got something I got to do when I get there.
Amen.
You know? And you do too, sitting there. Don't let me kid you. You're
right.
Here. You're an integral part of the service. If there's nobody in that things, well, why am I up here talking?
Right. You know?
If there's nobody receiving the word, why is the word coming?
Right.
You're an integral part of that, but it does distract me a little bit to think of those things, you know, when I'm trying to stay in what God wants me to say today.
Right.
Right? Amen. So, and even if you want to talk, just let me know. It'd be easier just to have a time together where we both are free, you know.
Right.
I don't like to complain, but I am a little busy sometimes, and I'm just like anybody else. We got lives, and I don't want it to be a burden to have to meet with you because of inconvenience on either side.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I think then you got the spirit going the wrong way, and you got to overcome that before you even get to where you're talking.
Right.
So I just think if there's something, please wait till after service. Even me or each other, we don't want none of that going on.
That's right.
As
amen.
Sincere as it can be, as righteous as it can be, just wait.
Amen.
And a lot of times, but most of you say none of this, you don't even have to talk about it.
Right.
Because it was in the service.
Amen.
Because it's not the man you're eating from. It's the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'd like to finish on a scripture here. If you don't mind, let's open our Bibles, and I will wrap up in 15 minutes tops. That's just depending on how slow I was. 1 Kings chapter 10. We'll finish right here. Hope you've enjoyed this today.
Amen.
A little backdrop to what's going on here in 1 Kings chapter 10. King Solomon had built the big temple, you know, made of gold, and it was just glorious. And God had given him a gift of wisdom to where he just excelled any man that's ever had wisdom besides Christ himself. And there's a queen from Sheba, which is hundreds of miles away, hears a rumor of this man. And he comes to see what it's all about. And when he comes, when she comes to meet Solomon, here's the situation. Verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom. Now look, that's not all she saw. She saw a lot more that went with that. Excuse me. And the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and the spices of very much store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. What was it that the queen of Sheba so admired? It wasn't just the wisdom of Solomon. It wasn't just the word that was preached. It was the people's attendance, the people's, they were happy, the people's attitude, the way they came into the house of God, the way they were dressed, the way they carried themselves, just the whole order of the temple is what blew her away. Because where did she come from? Like they do nowadays. Some temple down the road where, you know, it's just crazy haphazard. They're doing all kinds of drugs in there probably and all this voodoo and all this stuff. That's what she was used to church, and that's what they're used to it now. We're playing Xbox in the basement. There's smoke coming out of the sides here. We're playing a rock concert behind that. And then we get up. We don't even quote the Bible. We read another book that has nothing to do with anything. It's just a really good self-help thing. And that's what they think service is. They need to come here and recognize there's a difference. There's a difference between this temple than the ones I had been to before.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I believe that's why the order of the church is so important. It's so important to the effect, the purpose why we're even having service.
Right.
Amen. So I'm going to go through this one more time just because I know it's on tape. And if you miss anything, go listen to it again. Here's our services and why. 30 minutes or more before. We're going to have the music that's tape being played. Tithes and offerings, please place those in the basket. As I said, pray for those. The water, make sure you're a teenager if you're going to get it. If you're not, ask your parent to get it for you. The curtain is just there to keep people from seeing those going to the restroom. At all times, we're to be in prayer, consecration, reading our Bible, no talking, preparing ourselves for worship. That's what that is for. Then we go into the song service, and that'll be the song leader. For the time being, if Lord leads some other way later on, we'll do that. But for now, it's he's the man. And when he comes up, we'll read the psalm or wherever he wants to read from the scriptures. We'll sing one song as a congregation. We'll do all our announcements and prayer requests and testimonies and missions and all those things at that time. Then Dad will have someone open up in prayer that will be predetermined as much as possible, which I'm assuming there shouldn't be a problem with that. And after that, we'll have our congregational songs, either two more congregational songs or one special and one congregational song. But the special should be predetermined before the service starts. Amen. The preaching service, we want any minister or myself to feel free to preach as God leads him. We're not going to restrict that and make rules for what's to be preached. I believe that the Holy Spirit, even if the man was wrong in his heart, the Holy Spirit just has a way. That if you have faith, you can pull the word to you.
Yeah.
And if something's wrong, I'm not afraid to correct it. I've done it before. I've made sure that we believe what I believe the word of God has to say. But during the preaching service, why we're allowing God to speak, We are here to hear God speak. We are here to be responsive to the Word. We're here to engage in it, to be a part of it, because you are. Why? So that the Word can manifest.
Amen.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on him.
Yes.
So don't you limit God doing the supernatural. That's the prime time for it. Amen. That's the preaching service, which will be somewhere right now. Our song service, 10, as I said, to 30 at the max. I think preaching should be 30 minutes to an hour should be closing out. Right after that, we'll do an altar call, at least in our normal services. As when we've had guest ministers, usually they just, I never tell them to, but they just hand the service to me. And I don't know if that's just because every church does things different and they don't want to intrude or things of that sort. That's fine. I respect their decision to do that. But when the end of the service, we'll be asking those that want salvation, give them the opportunity. Those that might want healing or baptism or the Holy Ghost and those things, we'll always give an opportunity as Lord helps me for the people to have that,
right,
to receive that. Now, please don't, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're not sick, if you're not, you know, if you have what I'm asking, don't think that don't get resaved all the time. Okay? I'm sorry, but I see almost every time I've done it, somebody, it's like, look, you want to tell them, brother, it's not you, it's someone else, but I appreciate your sincerity. Because that's usually what happens, is we feel the Holy Spirit here, especially at the end of a service. You feel Him here. And you can feel even sometimes that convicting atmosphere that's here.
Right.
But then it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything. So what happens is the spiritual believer says, well, I guess it's me, then. And chances are, it's probably not. Because if you make your heart, even when you walk in this door, if you pray, consecrate yourself, what, it's done. Don't bring any of that. Leave that trash out there.
Amen.
And let the fire of God burn it all out.
Yeah.
Don't bring it in here.
No.
Leave it out there.
Amen.
Dump all your unbelief before you get in here.
Right.
Amen. But if there is somebody that... I always want the opportunity. And maybe I look around and I see what I think is all saints, but you might just feel wrong in your heart.
Right.
I want that opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me, fill me anew. I believe in that. And I think that part is so crucial to the gospel being effective. I think the reason why the word hasn't spread like it ought to is we've skipped that.
Right.
We just say it and, well, let it fall where it may.
That's it.
Well, that's,
amen.
I understand. But we got to give an opportunity for the thing to grow.
Right.
You know, we got to give a little worship and things and water it. Or what do you expect to see to grow if you don't take care of the thing?
Amen.
Amen. So there's that. We're here to let the manifestation of God's word and His promises to take place at that time. We want souls to come into the kingdom, and we want Satan defeated.
Right.
We don't want people to come sick and leave sick and come discouraged, leave discouraged, come empty, leave empty. That's not why we're here. We're here that God can do what He wants to do.
Amen.
And then after that, we'll dismiss, which we can do in prayer. We can just say it, things like that. But we want to keep it in order. Okay? And if you're done with service, please, if you got to go to the restroom and things, and you know, got posts during the winter and all that, just be as quiet as you can, reverent as you can. Treat it just like a sanctuary. And it's hard. It's hard not to, you know, it's hard to do that sometimes, but just keep in your mind that if there's one soul still in here, we want to give God the opportunity to deal the best, you know, we don't want to break the atmosphere.
Right.
And I think we should do our best, you know, to even just go outside at that point.
Right.
And just, you know, you can have your fellowship out there and stuff. And I, even in the wintertime, I know it's like, well, it's cold, and then in the summertime it's too hot, and in the spring it's, you know, whatever. There's always something. Everybody's got to just go ahead and do it. I think we can handle it.
Right.
Maybe that'll get us out to lunch a little bit faster, too. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to let those that want to stay, they can stay. I don't want to put some kind of restriction on it. But as far as the congregation, I'm not just going to have them sit here while you want to pray and things like that. That's like Brother Graham said, it's a long prayer. That's really between you and God in the closet.
Right.
It's your lack of faith that makes you think you need to pray here for another hour. When you could have just done it in your house. It's the same thing. What's the difference? Oh, I'm here. And no, it's the God that we serve.
Amen.
And if it's that kind of, you know, we're here to serve time in here, but when you're in that consecrational prayer is what I'm saying. You're just giving to God and fellowship and things. That's to be done one-on-one. You know, I don't, you think of husband and wife and stuff, you know, we go to our house to spend same with you and Christ in your relationship.
Right.
That's not to be shared with others. That's you and him.
So,
when we're dismissed, we do want you to go ahead and go and be respectful and to leave the house of God, accepting the word, believing the word, and letting it change every service. And if we do this every service, church, I'm telling you, things continue to grow.
Amen.
Why? Because it's just like any other seed. If you cultivate it right, you water it right, you take care of it, it's going to grow.
Amen.
And the word is a seed.
Right.
It is.
Amen.
And now we've thrown a lot of seeds, haven't we? And then we do everything to make sure it doesn't grow.
Right.
But not anymore, church. We're the church of the living God.
Yeah.
And if you're not little babies, I think you're ready.
Amen.
I think you can do this.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to receive the word today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I told you I was going to stop there. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment here. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Jesus, in the 136 from the little book. I know I've kept you a little bit longer. Have any questions? I might, like I said, I'm probably gonna leave a box out there if I can remember to do it. In the midst of moving and doing my master's and all this, but we'll get it. If you have something, please write it down. If you want to meet with me, just let me know. Don't be afraid. It's the main thing. Don't move in fear. So, well, I don't agree with this, Brother Andrew. I don't. That's okay. Let's talk about it.
Amen.
Let's talk about it. You might know something I don't know.
Amen.
I might know something you don't know.
Right.
That's okay. And if we disagree as far as the East is from the West, we ought to be Christian enough to say, you know what, it's going to be okay.
That's right.
We'll just serve God.
Amen.
You know, we have to have a head somewhere.
Right.
You know, if you have something without a head, you got a monster.
Yes.
You got something with two heads, you got a monster too. Okay?
Right.
So there's got to be a head to that, and God ordained a pastor to be the head of a little flock, just like a shepherd. And that's what he called me to do. This isn't really what I desired in life, but this is where I am. And I'm happy to do what he wants me to do.
Amen.
If it comes down to the last decision, I have to make those things. And a lot of times people think they want to make the decision until you really have to. And you see that you've got to deal with consequences, good or bad.
Right.
You know, even right at the end of service, sometimes you know, when you're controlling the service from the pulpit and things, you think, well, did I do that right? Did I say that right? Should I have done this? Or maybe I should have done, you have to deal with all that. So just serve God where you are. Serve him with all your heart. Do what God has called you to do. Even if there's a call of God in your life for ministry and the gifts of the Spirit, things which we will deal with, okay? I didn't ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to overload you. Okay, I think we got enough for today. But that will be in there. Let him grow it. Cultivate it. Let the Holy Spirit do it. He knows when's the time.
Right.
He knows. So even with the order and the service and things, I think he knew that this is a good time for this. So praise the Lord. Let's just sing that song for a little bit here. I just want to give a little bit of a little worship.
Is the sweetest name I know.
Let's just take a few minutes to worship. is good. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. If there's any here this afternoon, say, Brother Andrew, I've heard about him. I've read about him. But I want to meet this God you're speaking of. Stand here and say, I don't know the Lord personally, but I'd like to raise your hand to the Lord. Say, Father, reveal yourself to me. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, brother. Thank you, Lord. Is there any other souls here? Is that Christian or not? Just say, I'm empty. But God, I believe you'll fill me today. With love, joy, peace, and your spirit. God bless you, brother. God bless. Now raise that hand in faith that God, you're going to do this right here. I'm not going home with this. Things are going to be different because it's you doing the work. I'm done. Hallelujah. Don't fill yourself. Let him do it. You just say what he did and he'll take care of the rest of it. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sis. Brother, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. Keep reverent before the Lord now. Keep your head bowed. Thank you, Jesus. God meet each request. I'm going to let the altar be open in this atmosphere here. If you'd like to come forward for prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you, whether it's spiritual or natural or whatever it might be. I want to leave the altar open for a little bit here in this atmosphere. If everyone that would have a need, be willing to come forward. Thank you, Lord. You can receive it right there at your seat. I'm not trying to make you come forward. But if you just felt led to and have prayer, I'd be happy to. Gives it at your seat. You need to worship him like it's already done. That's the proof in the pudding right there. That's when you know you really got faith, because you already can praise him as it's done. Hallelujah. It's not a hope so, maybe so. It is so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just leave it open for a little bit. Let's sing that chorus just a few more times.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Teach us, Lord, you're there. And you're the greatest teacher there ever was. You're the greatest comforter there ever was. You're the greatest Savior there ever was. And as Christians, we're so happy to know you, Father. And in our hearts, the only desire we have is to please you, Lord. And you told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, and that these signs would follow them that believe. We pray, Lord, as we consecrate this building to you, we consecrate our order to you, the way we do things here, we consecrate it to the glory of Jesus Christ. May everything that's done, said in this place, Lord, reflect Jesus on earth. And may the world see that he's alive and well in the heart of every believer that comes into this place. May there not be a sinner able to sit comfortably, Lord, but may they come and feel the almighty presence of God long before, Lord, the judgment will come, for we know it will come. But God, may the soul feel it now, repent quickly, and be saved from the judgments that are lying ahead. We know each one of us will have to stand before your judgment seat. I pray that each soul that walks in here will do that now before it's on that white throne and there's no more mercy for them. God, while mercy is still extended, I pray that each one that raised their hands to you for salvation might receive it today. Each one that wanted healing and joy and didn't have peace, I pray they'd receive it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you're defeated. You have no power over us, and we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you, Lord, for the word you've brought to us. We pray you'd give us faithful hearts, Lord. Right motives, Lord, and leading of the Spirit, that we would always do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Help each one, Lord, to receive the word into their heart, to be faithful at their post of duty, to recognize their position in the body of Christ, and to act as the Spirit would lead them. Commit ourselves to you as a body of believers. Receive the glory in our praise, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, trusting that each one received the word today, and when you raised your hand, you had a heart of faith behind it, I'm not going to take it from you. You go believing, and God will fulfill that. Before we're dismissed, let's just sing. I'll hand the service over to Dad. Do it as we had stated earlier. Please, if you're done, just quietly go outside and sing. Just shut in with God. We'll sing that. It's right there on the same page. If you don't know it, 133. But you can stay and worship and pray as long as you feel led to. We love you and appreciate you. Pray the word blesses you, and that the Lord will just keep growing us and growing us and growing us. So one day we just go home. Praise the Lord. So let's sing it there. Go ahead, Dan.